Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
So today, as you've seen in our earlier video, if you've watched it, it's not just the regular episode today of Murder in the Morning. It's the Breaking Down Karen Reed's Behaviors Extravaganza. Today, brought to you by Karen Reed Vodka. Karen Reed Vodka. Where memory fails, confidence prevails. Karen Reed Vodka. That looks like that looks like a fun time. That does look like a fun time right there. Obviously, it's satire. That's not really a thing yet.
Yeah, it's not real. Please don't email us and ask where you can get that.
Where do I get it?
And we're not giving away free bottles of it either, so.
No. There's a lot to go through. We just, in our last segment, really kind of broke down a lot of the drinking. I want to talk about, I think, more things that are going to keep coming up here in this trial. And that's, again, a lot of this does not make her a murderer, but it just paints a picture of a really bad relationship and people who were really not good for each other because both had very different priorities to themselves of what was important, themselves or others. And yeah. Robin Dreek actually did a really interesting, he did some research on this just the other day. And he evaluated all of the clips that have been out there, all the public statements that have been made by Karen Reed. And based on this non-scientific research, 5% of those clips were actually talking about John O'Keefe, the victim.
Oh my God. That's
the other ones were all about her, all about her in some way, shape or form. Now, I mean, it's not like Karen Reed is sitting back there at the editing chair, being able to say what the media will and won't put out.
Right.
But the fact that you're sitting there even saying these things to the media is the problem.
Well, and you've got a dead boyfriend.
And you have a dead boyfriend. So candor in this, you know, it means a lot to people. But that doesn't exist here. So we're going to talk about the relationship thing. And again, I do not in any way, shape or form believe that, you know, she had a motive to kill John O'Keefe because she wanted to go hook up with his friend. But it does say a lot when she's so needy and saying horrible, horrible things in his voicemails about the status of the relationship. And John's not the one that's doing these things. He's not the one texting his friends saying, you know, you want to come over and hook up like Karen is. But this is her reaction when she can't get a hold of John that night. Her reaction immediately is, well, he must be effing another girl in the neighborhood.
You know, I'm drinking, I'm swearing. It's horrible.
John, I'm here with your kids, and nobody knows what the you are, you pervert.
I became convinced he's sleeping with someone, and there were multiple women in the neighborhood of Fairview that John had been with.
John, you are using me right now. You're another girl. You're a loser. Yourself. Yeah, it's 1 in the morning. I'm with your niece and nephew. You pervert.
Yeah. Never mind the fact that she was, you know, flirting with his buddy and inviting him. It was either to go to her house or him to go to her, one of the places. I don't recall which one the invitation was out to. But encouraging, you know, we're both adults.
Got my car. I hear him, and I'm not a licensed psychologist. But I hear a lot of insecurity in her voice.
Yes, people who do that are very insecure about everything, so they usually end up taking on these insecurities in other ways by like actually acting out on things like this to prevent being hurt. Then you got your backup. Then you got someone else isn't going to hurt you, so I'm going to hurt myself first. And at the end of this relationship, it really seemed to be that's what she was doing by trying to invite that in and create chaos with one of his friends, one of the officers, but then gets violently, at least maybe not violent in terms of physical, but, you know, emotionally violent, leaving 50 or calling 50 some times that night, leaving like 8 or so voicemails. I don't know if the actual count is, or if we should add an extra shot into each one of those counts to make it a double. But that's not normal behavior. That's
really excessive. I mean, I could see five.
Yeah.
Five calls.
Yeah.
Like one an hour. Like, what's going on? I'm really concerned. I haven't heard from you. You know, when you leave a fuck you, John message, it's going to be really hard for you to come back from that, because let's say he was passed out on the couch and he rolls over at 6 a.m. and goes, what the hell's on my phone?
Yeah.
And it's nasty message after message. You fucking pervert. You this, you that. You're blah, blah. I'm here with your fucking kid. I mean, how do you bounce back from that? What do you call that? Oh, I was drunk. Oh, I'm just a psychotic bitch. I mean, it's one thing to call.
I'm gonna go with number two.
Well, all right, yeah, you can go with number two. But it's one thing to be concerned. Like, this is so unlike you that I keep calling because I don't know what else to do.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. Like,
I'd be really concerned.
And leaving
for
a
safety.
Message like I'm so concerned about you. You never not come home, and you know it's 3 a.m. and you're not here yet. I don't know what to think. I'm scared. That's a typical girlfriend, wife. I haven't heard from my significant other.
Not if you're
what
Karen
Reed. She left is really telling.
Yeah, I mean, it explains a lot.
It kind of does. The dynamic in this relationship
the
is
amount
really
of,
poor.
The amount of narcissistic tendencies that Karen Reed exudes. Again, can't diagnose her by any means, and I'd have no idea, but I can look at the characteristics of what she's acting like, and oh my God, it's out of the playbook. It's not surprising at all, I think, to see this sort of behavior. And I wanted to make a caveat in there because I thought it was interesting that still, even in this documentary, she is saying that John's been with a bunch of women in the neighborhood. She had to get that in there, too.
Yeah, that's quite a dig. The guy's dead.
Which is also like, I don't know how much I believe you at all. Like, this seems like you're just trying to really add that little piece in there to go, oh. So the women go, oh, I get it. I get why she's saying that. Yeah, I don't know that it's accurate because, well, I mean, I
Tony,
yeah,
even
I'm just going to guess
it's
insane.
Let's just say it was accurate.
Yeah.
Good looking guy. If he was single and decided, you know, these women in the neighborhood are good looking, I'm going to date them or whatever. Yeah. We hit it off. We had a one night stand. We had a relationship. Who cares? That doesn't mean that just because he had been with 3 or 4 women in the neighborhood, that that's what he was doing that night.
No, it doesn't. And there's nothing wrong if he had, you know, met those people or did things with them. But what I'm saying is it's a level of delusion that people like this often exhibit that is so out there, and it plays on their insecurities. And whether he, you know, helps someone find their dog once, in her mind, it's probably equating to he was fucking her. I know from experience.
I'm sorry, but if you heard me go, I just... I just did that because I went, huh.
I was in a relationship with a major narcissist. I don't know what the diagnosis was, but.
Well, she used to accuse
mine was get out
things in the neighbor with neighborhood women.
It was delusional. It was utterly delusional. And I didn't know what to even make of it. All it was like, maybe this will pass. This seems weird. And then she had been through some stuff and she had been cheated on before. And I get, you know, past patterns and stuff. Those are some insecurities, but it got to such a crazy point. I didn't go for a walk. I like to walk. I didn't go for walks. I was afraid to even like be in the front of the house half the time. Cause there was times like one, like somebody would walk by, you know, the neighborhood. I don't know any of my neighbors at this time either. Yeah. And, like one would walk, a female was out walking by, which happens frequently. It's a neighborhood. People go for walks and it was like Karen Reedish. Like,
yes.
Like, is that your girlfriend? Why don't you go say hi to your girlfriend? I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And it's this utter insecurity. And it's usually one of the first things that they go to is you're doing something with somebody else. And it's like, when would I even physically have time for that? Like, you're with me all the time. That's impossible. But when you live in a delusional land and reality is very meldable, which it does seem to be for Karen Reed, considering all the different accounts that she's had of this night, anything's possible. So I really,
just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you.
Yeah. So I really question that. I, you know, and I think it's kind of shitty. Even if he had been out there, why do you even add that into that conversation? Cause it's just shitty at this point. He's dead.
Well, like, and again,
you got to do some little extra to make you look good. You know,
this is supposed to be a telling of that night. And don't bring in the dirty laundry. The guy's dead. Have some respect. You know, we don't know how he died. I she needs some therapy. She needs some help.
Yeah. And this is the type of person where therapists go, I'm sorry, we're closing shop. I'm not accepting new patients right now.
Yeah.
Seriously. Because if she is what a lot of people have been suggesting she is, and I can't say that she is, but borderlines are the type that therapists are like, uh-uh. No. And I don't know. I have no idea. But that's been the word I've seen online a lot, and I've seen therapists online suspect that maybe that's part of it. Again, I'm not a doctor. I have no idea. But you look at traits and you go, and then you hear, you know, crazy shit like this.
It's impossible for me to have any sympathy for any of these witnesses. Definitionally, is it harassing witnesses? Yes, they're witnesses against me in my prosecution. And is he yelling things at them? And is he going up to their front doors and ringing the bell? Yes. But they shouldn't be witnesses. They should have been suspects. So it's not cut and dry.
I feel like she's like arguing with her dad at the age of like 11 and like trying to convince it. Like, well, it should have been this. Like, that's great, Karen. Go to your room. You're wrong.
Yeah. I didn't break the window. Did you ask the neighbor if they broke the window? They might've broken the window. Mm-hmm. You know, she seems like she's emotionally stunted and, these relationships are adult relationships, but she brings a childlike trait to them.
I think that's
this is like a 7-year-old.
Very accurate. It really feels like, you know, there's other parts of life where obviously she's a professional at and has done well at. Mm-hmm. But then it seems in the relationship department, it very much feels like a stunted, like early adolescent relationship, like when you're just starting to learn how to date people. And that's where it, going back to some of the cheating stuff, here's another one of her clips from
it felt like the walls were closing in during the Higgins text messages. I could like feel my parents like shrinking, and that was painful. I felt like I was having an endoscopy without a sedative. It's exactly what it felt like.
Notice all about how it's painful to her.
Wow.
Not to like your father John's that's sitting family. Back there shaking his head going, what the hell did I create?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got to be really painful. Like, take your a moment from your life, a snapshot, because we've all been there, of something where you're like, I wish I had done this differently.
Yeah.
Boy, did I fuck this up. And then somebody is putting that in front of a whole bunch of people, word for word, what you said, what you did, what you look like, all of it.
Yeah.
For everybody to just see and analyze. It's a lot.
Here's another piece. Trying to justify.
I don't even like to use the phrase having an affair because I wasn't married. That's one aspect of this that frustrates me is, you know, Karen was flirting with somebody else or attempting to hook up with someone else. But I mean, John and I were just dating. We're middle age. And we didn't pay a mortgage together. We didn't have life insurance together. We didn't have kids together.
She talks fast and high pitch when she's trying to justify something wrong. I've noticed that.
Well, and again, if it feels like they were in a committed relationship.
They were. Again, she's like screaming at him. I mean, look, if she didn't think they were in a committed relationship, she wouldn't be reacting that way on those voicemails. But
yeah,
but she's playing by her own set of rules. He mm-hmm. can't go and do that. But in her mind, she can.
First of all, I was never really around Brian Higgins when we weren't in a bar room. And so my judgment might have been a little precarious. But Brian Higgins and I had a kind of a flirtatious back and forth for about 2 weeks, maybe a little less. And that was on the heels of my issues with John in Aruba. It was a lot of alcohol. And it just escalated from there.
No, it wasn't just a lot of alcohol. It was you being irrational.
We met a huge group of people down there. A lot of John's friends, none of whom I knew. It was just a lot of booze, a lot of like late nights. And on New Year's Eve, I walked through the lobby to go to my and John's room. And John is in the lobby, like literally hanging on this girl who I hadn't met.
John O'Keefe had hugged a longtime friend of his sister's.
I heard very loudly his name screamed across the lobby, very angrily, and it made me stop in my tracks. I hear someone yell, "Who the f- was that?" And he said, "Excuse me." He said, "Calm down. That's Laura's little sister." I said, "Hi, nice to meet you." That's when Miss Reed's head snapped up, and she very loudly told me to go myself across the lobby. Oh, and I said, yeah, you too. She was waving her hands. Johnny was trying to calm her down.
Then I feel guilty, and I apologize to her.
Sure,
it was just a bad, bad trip. And that's how we started 2022. And then that rolled into the Higgins flirtation.
All things she created. All things manufactured.
If you have this kind of excursion with your boyfriend or even husband, that this is how things have deteriorated, it's time to throw in the towel.
Yeah.
Be done. I mean, it's one thing if you find evidence that he is cheating on you. He's lying to you. He's, mm-hmm. you know, you catch him in some really weird lies. That's one thing. But she's fabricated this herself.
Yeah.
Everybody's drunk. He's saying hi to somebody. There's nothing going on. And she's just got this image of, oh, he's fucking her.
And you know what? It also makes her out to be the victim and the center of attention simultaneously. Win-win. Yeah.
How convenient.
It yeah. doesn't matter there, that she looks
there's
ridiculous.
There's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
And maybe they shouldn't have been together. Maybe somebody should have pulled the plug and said, you know what? Maybe we're okay separately, but together we are fire and gas. Just mm-hmm. be done.
Yeah.
You know, well, this isn't healthy for anybody.
Just the playbook. And I've been saying it, like, if you understand the playbook that people with these tendencies follow, they're not hard to figure out. Mm-hmm. This is another one that I found really interesting. About the kids.
The relationship felt less
how she spins
healthy
it.
As time went on, mainly because go. Of the dynamic among the four of us. that I was getting closer to the kids. I was spending more time there. I had more of a role, and it seemed to bother John.
I don't buy that for one second. I think her behavior around the kids seemed to bother John, and people like this tend to villainize others, so they're always the hero. And I think John, as he even said in a text, was he's sick of always being the bad guy with the kids to her. And that's very indicative of someone who is, you know, they're grooming them. Because if you are the narcissistic person, you're going to always want to be the hero. And if John's the hero, because he already is the wonderful, you know, uncle who takes these kids in when his loved ones die, everybody's looking at him as, look, this is a great guy. This is a great guy. And I bet Karen was sitting there seething at that. Because that wasn't affection and attention being brought onto her. So how does she do this? Well, she's got to make it where maybe the kids, you know, they like me more than you, John, and that sort of approach. And he can't speak to it. That's my conjecture on it. If she's playing along, and if you're playing along with the instruction manual on narcissistic tendencies, that would be another big one. Again, can't say she is. Who knows? But damn,
you just like it.
You go for the ride and you just check the boxes as you go. And if you're missing one, you're like, where is that? Oh, there it is. This I also found messed up. This is her talking about the crowds of people, her adoring fans, as she goes into a trial where she's being tried for murdering supposedly the love of her life, John O'Keefe. What does it feel like for her doing that every day?
Those walks are just lovely and bittersweet. Everyone's telling me they love me and I look beautiful and knock them dead. And it's a nice little ego bath that we take walking in there.
And there's more with the ego bath.
I think they just sympathize so much with what I'm going through that they care about me and feel for me. And they're inspired.
Inspired. This is where you get into the grand. This is all grandiose thinking. Again,
I was just gonna say.
Again, she check the box of the traits.
She's developing the ego is a little bit out of check here.
It's insanely out of check.
I mean, and again, to her, this feels like a catwalk.
Yeah.
She is on display.
Yeah.
The music just started and she's strutting her shit up the courthouse stairs.
An ego bath. I don't think I've ever heard that word before, an ego bath. There's a little bit more to this.
And they want to see this through. It's like watching a really good sporting event, or more than that. It's like watching a really good trial of someone who's innocent. So I don't know that it's me. It's what is happening to me.
Oh yeah, it's not you. You're gonna pull it back. Be a little more reserved. I don't know that it's me. I didn't. No.
You know, this isn't O.J. Simpson. She wasn't a celebrity until this trial began. She was standard issue. You know, just like the rest of us.
Yeah.
It's not about justice for John. It's all about the Karen Reed case. I mean, it's my life and my trial.
I know,
no,
it's about me.
It's about John, for fuck's sake. Oh my God, justice for my John. Head.
The case is about how he died. I think a lot of people are going to be like shocked when they see the truth.
This is about John. Because without his death, none of this would be going on.
Yeah.
Nobody would care about Karen Reed. Nobody would know who Karen Reed was. Few people, maybe. This is 100% about John. 100%.
Well, but if you believe Karen, then, you know.
They say that I'm a drunk, vengeful girlfriend, scorned lover. But I'm innocent. I'm being set up. And these witnesses, they're all lying. I just can't wait to get our shot at these guys. It's going to be the game changer.
They're all lying.
So
they're all, so like every single person in that house, which we know Yannetti is your boyfriend, Alan Jackson, has already said, everyone in that house has something to do with this.
No.
You're accusing children. You do realize that. So everybody in that house, according to them, and then as they pick apart the first responders, they're all in on it too. So you got that. You got the fire.
Oh, yeah, department. It's from the top down, clearly.
Everybody just said, Karen, we're going to orchestrate this giant cover-up in the course of a few hours of him being dead in this yard, and all of us are going to get in together on this, and nobody's going to break. Nobody's going to say, this is insane. I'm not going to be a part of that. No, everybody's in on this cult, and they're all making this whole conspiracy up to get you.
Yeah.
It was shitty police work. It's shitty behavior on your part, Karen. And it's not a fucking conspiracy. It was bad police work, bad investigation. They didn't kill him and drag him out to the yard. Something happened out there. You were the very closest to him being there.
Mm-hmm.
The likelihood is, if you're playing connect the dots, is that you probably nicked him at the least. Something happened.
Yeah.
Or you didn't, and he just fell over, slipped, hit his head, got back up, crawled into the lawn, and passed out. But you obviously saw something, Karen.
He didn't look mortally wounded as far as I could see, but could I have done something that knocked him out and in his drunkenness and in the cold didn't come to again?
And this would have been the moment you dropped him off at the party.
Yeah.
That statement in itself is concerning, that she saw something. She didn't say what. She couldn't maybe recall what she saw, but there was something that triggered in her mind. Well, he didn't look like he was hurt.
Mortally wounded.
Yeah, it's an unusual statement.
And your own attorneys are clearly the context of that was not the morning. The context of that was that night. Just laid out. There's no guessing about that. But Alan Jackson is out there saying, that was talking about the morning when she got there. No, it wasn't.
No, he did seem mortally wounded in the morning.
Of course he did. If Karen was saying he didn't look mortally wounded in the morning, then she's blind.
Or still drunk and hungover.
It makes no sense to say that in the morning. He did look mortally wounded in the morning.
Yeah, he was lying in a snowbank.
And his eyes are bulged out. He looked mortally wounded in the morning. So that doesn't make any sense that she'd be saying that in the morning. As she's picking glass out of his nose. Yeah, he looks mortally wounded there. The contradictions of this woman are just insane.
Well, and think about the attorneys. Her attorneys now have to clean up the mess she made on these docuseries.
That's on them to even want to continue this. Come on, tell her to shut up. Say, if you're going to keep doing this stuff, I'm not going to be an effective counsel to you. So you do it or I'm out. You keep doing this, I'm out. Oh my God.
The attorneys that I know spend a lot of time cleaning up their clients' stuff. Like, I advised you to do this. You went and did that.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have to go deal with that because you didn't do this.
But it's
this
more billable hours.
Yeah. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me. I've seen it a lot, that you pay money for an attorney's opinion on the best thing to do, and then you don't do it. Mm-hmm. And then you got to pay twice the fee because now it's going to take them twice the amount of time to clean up what you did, which wasn't what they advised you to do.
Yeah. The thing is, people are great at that. Like, look at therapy, look at therapists where let's get to this point and kind of get you on a path of what makes sense. And you're just doing the opposite.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, some people go with it and learn, and some people yield to other people's expertise and go, okay, that makes more sense because I don't know what I'm doing over there. So I'm going to.
Right. And I came to you for a reason.
Yeah.
You're the one who's the expert. You're the one who knows this system better than I do. I'm coming to you for help.
But so, yeah,
I don't know. Did her attorney say, yeah, go tell Dateline anything you want to say? I doubt it.
Look, another massive narcissistic trait is you, if you're the narcissist, you are smarter than everyone in the room, no matter who it is, no matter who.
Yeah.
You always are. You got the better idea.
She knows better. This is going to play better to the public than anything Alan Jackson could tell her to do. This will play better.
Shit. Yeah. It's playing better. It's now accenting every single witness in your case. Yeah. The crazy, stupid things you said out loud are now accenting every piece of this trial. Again, none of it makes her a murderer.
No.
But when you have your future and your life on the line with jurors, coming across as this is not a good look.
No.
And people convict on things like this.
Yeah. When this case is done, she can say anything she wants to say.
Yeah.
The case was still pending. It's not over. She knew that when she was talking about all of this.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's a train wreck.
The world of true crime never stops, and neither do we. Press subscribe now to get daily updates, in-depth analysis, and expert opinions from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. She was a doting mother, the kind who baked cookies, made the best homemade Halloween costumes, and never missed a PTA meeting. The perfect mom. Until the police found something buried in the backyard. A secret she kept for years. A secret she thought would never come to light. The neighbors gasped. Not her. She's so nice. But people forget. Monsters don't always look like monsters. Some wear aprons. Some tuck their kids in at night. And some hide their darkest deeds in places they think no one will ever look. If only someone had heard the warning signs, had recognized the patterns from an eerily similar case on Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. If they had only subscribed to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, they could have listened ad-free before anyone else and saved themselves from baking cookies with a serial killer. Instead, well, they won't be RSVP to this year's PTA meeting. Subscribe now to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts.